Well, you know, it's time for me to get my blankie and hop up on the couch and get straightened out. Yes, the staff shrink is in the office here now, and the lights go dim. We take a deep breath, and we welcome Patrick Doyle. Hi, pal.
Hey, thanks.
Patrick Doyle's in here. He's a local area counselor and doing a great job and turning out to be one of the most popular guys on the air. I don't know why, but... Oh, I do know why. Just kidding you. I mean, you know one thing I appreciate, but I remember those beginning days when you came into my office and I wailed on you.
Uh-huh.
You know, I said, I don't like you guys. Remember that?
You know, I said, yeah, I don't either.
I said, why do you want to be on air? You know. Anyway, I thought if you can get through my interview, you're entitled to a chance.
That was pretty awesome how it happened, because we both found we have a dislike for a lot of things that go on in counseling and how people are treated and those kind of things. And it's, you know, it's really prevalent. There's a system of care, if you're using the word care loosely out there, that I have a total disagreement with, because it is not based in the truth of Scripture.
Well, that's what I appreciate about you. You always bring it back to your personal relationship with God mm-hmm. and the trust factor with God.
Mm-hmm.
And God has gifted you to do that, Patrick. And you say things, they're nuggets. People, you know, we get the emails, we get the phone calls. Mm-hmm. It has a residual effect. You'll say something, 3 days later the phone rings. Kind of like, you know, they process it and go, duh.
Well, one of my therapy mentors said years ago, he said, it's a velvet brick.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really know they got hit. And then a few days later it germinates and like, oh, that's what that was about.
Look, we're in an election cycle.
Yeah, we are.
And I'm not trying to politicize your part of the program. But out of all of this, when I have been surfing, you know, I'm a news junkie.
Right.
I'll be, you know, there's no use hiding it. Probably need counseling for it. You know. So I'm doing the typical surf. I go to CNN. I go to MSNBC. I go to Fox. I go to the three alphabet networks.
Uh-huh.
And I realize, you know, at the end of the day, the fear factor in America is an all-time high, mm-hmm. and it's being offset with integrity or lack thereof.
Right.
And all of these emotions are ratcheted up, and it's showing up in our kids. It's showing up in your office. Life mm-hmm. is just, I mean, we're in a pressure cooker.
Yep.
And all of the things that America is known for isn't working for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Scripture says everything that can be shaken will be shaken until the relationship between you and God cannot be shaken. So he's going to shake right. your home. He's going to shake your country. He's going to shake your church. He's going to shake your finances. He may shake your health.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shake your marriage. I mean, the list goes on and on mm-hmm. until he gets a relationship with you that cannot be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of all of this is fear.
That's right.
And I know we're not supposed to be afraid, but guess what? We are.
Right. It's a reality. It's not, you know, it is great to live without fear, but there are many things to fear. And I think when you talk about fear, people, you know, it's, also, I thought it was interesting that today's also Halloween.
Yeah, you're dressed up as a counselor.
No, I'm not. I don't have a tweed jacket on. I'm not, you know, stroking my
chin. You don't
chin.
Have a pipe. And
exactly.
Well, you know, you know what the number one thing is on the minds of Americans?
No.
This is polled both secular and Christian polls across America. It's security.
Yeah.
So translate that into fear.
Exactly. You know, and it makes me wonder because, you know, as an American, I'm never really worried about my security. I don't, you know, living here in the Valley, I don't ever worry about it. I'm pretty, you know, fine with it.
We're an 38-minute missile launch from North Korea, the Rogue Valley is. Just thought I'd let you know. Now are you afraid?
No, I'm not. Okay. And I'll tell you why. You know, I grew up in a home where fear was the standard. You know, my father was abusive and unpredictable. So you always were in some level of fear. You had to survive. You had to be very aware. You had to be watching what was going on. You had to be monitoring everything. You had to be hyper-vigilant. And all that fear never really protected me. It didn't stop my father's abuse. You know, it helped me prepare for it. It made me aware of it. But ultimately, you know, as I got older and I became a believer, I still was pretty fear-based because that's what I learned. It was imprinted in me. I didn't have a choice. I was just a kid. I got it imprinted in me. We have a culture, I think, that does a lot of that imprinting. There's, you know, I heard a salesman say one time that people buy things for only two reasons, fear or pleasure. So much of sales is about fear. They create the crisis, you know. Everything's, you know, an emergency, and you have to, or you need to, or you got to. And it's all this subtle fear that's used on people. So in our culture, there's tons of fear that's being used. The church has used fear in the past, and still today in some cases does use fear, you know. The fear of hell. Well, that should be a healthy fear, right? You should be afraid of hell if you're, you know, a normal human being. You don't want to go there. But there's got to be a balance.
Yeah, we're living in a day where people are afraid of the word church.
Well, yeah. And there's a lot of things that people are afraid of in it, from the personal level to the national level, from the personal level to the cultural level. There's fears embedded in all of that. And the scripture has an antidote for fear, and it's perfect love. It says that perfect love casts out fear. Now, perfect love only has one source. There's no other source for perfect love aside from God himself. He is the only source of it. So if you're trying to find your way out of fear through some means other than him, you will not get there.
All right, now, you have set this up so good, like you normally do. A lot of people don't feel God's love. They don't feel it. They don't sense it. They think that he's looking at them with conditional eyes.
They've been disqualified. That's what they think. Yeah. They think they're not good enough. They don't measure up. They're too sinful or whatever. And again, those are things that come very naturally from their experiences. And it doesn't change the truth that God is a God who loves. Okay. Now, I'm going to say something that might be upsetting to some folks, but God does not love everyone. If we just do a brief review of history, we realize that, you know, at one point, God wiped out the entire world in judgment in Noah's day.
Ooh.
I don't think he loved those people he judged. He wiped them out. He killed all of them. You know, God wiped out entire nations, every man, woman, and child, and animal through the Israelites. The day that Jesus died on the cross, one went and one didn't, the two on either side of him. You know, not everybody who encountered Jesus believed. So evidently God doesn't love everybody.
Well, yeah.
So if God loves you, that is an extraordinarily amazing thing. And God's love for us has nothing to do with us. Again, this is a clear belief that I have. It's not, I was reading through Romans again the other day. It's not about what we do or don't do. It's about what he's done.
Yeah,
already
boy.
Done.
Why do we put human conditions on that?
Because we want some level of control. And to see, this gets right back into what we were talking about this morning before I got on the air.
Well, that's amen.
We want some level of control. Excuse me. And God's saying, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm in charge. I'm in charge of mercy. I'm in charge of compassion. I'm in charge of love. Mm. I'm in charge of judgment. I'm in charge of it all. Do you trust me? The answer resoundingly as many times, no.
Or, but.
Yeah, which is a no.
Yeah, right.
And so what we do is we kind of do this hybrid deal where it's part God, it's part us. Mm-hmm. The problem is that God isn't swayed by us one bit. He's got his own agenda that's perfect, without blemish. He is holy. He can't do anything but good. Okay? So what we want is we want to see our outcome come to be. So the other day I was thinking about us unnamed people within the church who are, in my estimation, fleecing the flock, and I think are heretical. And I was saying to God, now, God, why? Why are you allowing this?
Yeah.
Why do you allow millions of people to be led astray?
Amen.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And you know what, God revealed to me, he said, this is nothing new.
And people try to merchandise God.
Absolutely. And I went back to Acts. And I read about where Paul was, you know, encouraging the people not to allow the Judaizers to affect them. And, you know, he confronted those guys who were trying to say to the Gentile believers that they had to be circumcised to believe. And Paul was correcting them. And there were many false prophets in that time. And so God said, you know, there's nothing new here. This has been going on all along. Why are you so you know, sort of uptight about this. Do you trust me? Do you trust what I'm going to do? Do you trust me to do justice? Do you trust me to do justice? Because many times my upset, my fear is about, I want justice. I want it now. And God's saying, I'm in charge of justice, and I will bring about justice, no doubt about it, in one of two ways. God will either punish Christ on your behalf and satisfy his wrath, which is due you, or he will send the person to hell forever. Those are the two ways in which God does justice. Okay? So there's no doubt about the fact that it will be done. I can rest in that. That helps me tremendously because now I can get off the treadmill of trying to bring about justice. In my daily life, I must work for justice in my daily situations. The scripture is clear to teach me that I should be about working for justice, working for the helpless, defending the homeless, or helping the homeless, feeding the poor, you know, working towards helping the widow and the orphan. Those are things that the scripture is very clear to teach. I can't do those things, though, if I'm full of fear. I can't do them effectively if I'm full of fear. And the antidote for that fear is for me to be trusting God that he, in his wisdom, knows exactly what's supposed to happen and will bring it about in a perfect way.
All right, we're talking to Patrick Doyle, and he's a local area counselor. If you want to join the conversation, you're welcome to do that, 776-5368 or 1-800-373-5368. Patrick has a private practice, and the number to that office is 301-5500. Again, that's 301-5500. So, a lot of people are afraid of where America is right now.
Yeah. Well,
and I, you know, it stems from a lot of fear.
Sure.
I mean, let's face it. Let's just be real honest. Nothing is right. Have you found anything out there that's right?
Yeah.
I know God's right. I'm not talking about
right,
that.
Right.
But the culture is upside down.
Yeah. As a rule, it certainly is. And, you know, again, this is nothing new. This has happened 100 times. This has happened 1,000 times. God is not in heaven chewing his nails going, oh, no. He's fully aware what's going on. He is in charge. He will do justice. He is going to be in charge of the outcome. You know, political rulers, kings, leaders, they're nothing to him. They're no obstacle. He can sway that in a flat second if he chooses to. So, you know, again, it comes back to, if I love God, I love him, why? This is the thing that, you know, I think gets really confusing. Why would I love God? Because of what he does for me? Yeah, I love God in a responsive way. I can't believe that God, the God of the universe, you know, picked me out of the mud and set me on a rock. when that happened, it wasn't because I was looking for it. You know, yeah, there was a day that I said in church, yes, I want to get saved. But there were things going on way before that where God was orchestrating and moving. Mm-hmm. And way back, you know, to the beginning of my life, I can look back now and see his fingerprint. So my love for God is responsive. I love him, the scripture says, because he first loved me.
How do you take your fear and not let it turn into do?
Right. So, again, the antidote for fear is perfect love. So which one am I going to focus on? You know what? If I focus on the fear and the things that I'm afraid of and the things that I want to happen that I'm afraid won't happen and the people that I want to do it, all those things, you know, I'm going to be fearful. There's no way around it. But if I focus on God, again, I love that scripture in Luke, where particularly as the message renders it, where God says, what I'm trying to do here, God, Jesus speaking to his disciples, is get you to relax. And not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. And there's a key difference there. God is not interested in you getting. He's already done it. It's finished. What he's interested in you is receiving from him what you need. You don't have it. He does. So if you don't trust him because you have had bad experiences, because people have mistreated you in the church, because you don't know him very well, well, you're going to be blocked from getting the kind of love that's really going to be the kind of love that sustains you in fear. So I have fear even to this day. Everybody does. But I have an antidote for it. I have a place to go. When I'm fearful, I have an answer. It's God. It's his love for me that's overwhelming. So if I don't trust God, I'm not going to go there. You don't go to people you don't trust. That's just a reality. So if you don't trust God, it's my suspicion, because you don't know him. You know of him, like I've said before. A lot of people know God like we know President Bush. You know, I know kind of what his policies are. I know where kind of where he lives. I know some things about him. I could maybe convince you he's a good guy or a bad guy by someone I know. But I don't know him like Laura does. Mm-hmm. Laura knows him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people know God like President Bush. They know him like distantly, but mm-hmm. they don't know that intimacy of who he really is and how he has tangibly and personally invested and invaded and dealt with them in their lives in a way that they can't even explain. And that is the difference between being controlled by fear and having a place to go where you have safety and hope and courage that's available to you, that's not yours, that's given to you, and it helps you navigate the fearful things of life. You have to have that intimacy with him. Otherwise, it's just blah, 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 blah.
I have to tell you, one of the greatest, I don't know if I have the right term here, but one of the greatest opposing things to intimacy with God is the speed of our culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, cell phones have speeded us up. Computers have speeded us up.
Right.
I have caught myself in my own personal time. I have a routine when I come in here early in the morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, certainly have my private time. But I realize if I turn my computer on,
it's over.
There's this thing over there, and I hear it, click, 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 click. You know, and I'm going, and I'm trying to pray, and click, 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 click. And I thought, you know what? You feel absolutely pulled with every fiber in you to go over there and answer those emails.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So I have to not turn that baby on until I'm done.
That's right.
That's just one thing.
I know.
You know?
Of many.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And so
it never fails when I'm having a good time with God, the phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never fails. My cell phone goes off. You know? It's for you, Perry.
Well, that's why I've encouraged people over time that you have to find that quiet place where there's no interruptions. It's a protected environment. There is no
phone. Bubble.
The bubble. That's right. There is no phone. There is no TV. There is no radio. There is no, you know, interruptions. There, and it's a place where if you were to begin to, you know, scream or yell or sob or whatever, no one would hear you, so you're not in. You're not, you know. You don't feel like somebody could see or hear you, so you're not in, bound up by that fear of somebody hearing me or seeing me. So you can really be as honest or as free as you need to be in that time. And remember, again, I believe our greatest need is not to talk to God as much as it is to listen to him.
How do you transfer security to God when the culture is saying is security is in your worth?
Right.
Your bank accounts,
right.
Your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of those things are being challenged
mm-hmm.
and pushed around, mm-hmm. You're insecure. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, and again, I think it's through those difficulties that God reveals his trustworthiness, because he is unlike anything on this earth. He is, as the scripture says, you know, unchanging. Why is it that God doesn't change? Well, because he's perfect. He doesn't need to. Unlike us, who are in desperate need of change all the time, it's because of our imperfection and our worldliness and our fleshliness that we need change. God is not like that. He is above that. He doesn't change because he is perfect. There's nothing to change. And so when you start to look at that, you realize that, okay, I need to get out of the lie and the way of the world, which is, it's about me, it's about what I do, it's about what I have, it's about who I know, it's about all these other things. That is a world system. It's a lie. The only real system is God's, who is perfect. And again, I'm not saying this like we, you know, find that place and then we just live there forever. It's something that we go through day in and day out. We keep refocusing on. We keep
right.
coming back to. It's not static. It's dynamic.
It's
always moving.
You get a lot of people through your office.
Correct.
I get some through mine. I try to quickly get them over to yours. but, you know, it's interesting. And I don't mean to make this a gender issue. It just seems like women worry. You can see the worry in a woman more than you can a man. A man disguises it better, I
guess.
That's
true, yeah.
Not to say we don't worry, because I think we do. We just do it at another level.
Yeah.
But women worry about everything, you know, from their kids to their husband to themselves, their health. Mm-hmm. And you add up all, and it does translate into fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, fear is a byproduct of worry,
right,
or vice versa. But you got all this going on. I'm looking for one thing when I'm talking to people. I'm looking for one thing that I can get them to transfer to God.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find one. Mm-hmm. They're so attached to it.
Right. Well, you know, again, this is reminds me of what Jesus said. Jesus said all the time. He says, "Let's get out of here, guys. Let's go to a quiet, secluded place.
Come apart before you come apart.
Let's get out of here." We don't do that anymore. We don't have time to get away. And I'm telling you, it's one of the things I suggest to people all the time. You need to take a 24-hour period of time and get away. Get out of town. Get away from the kids. Get away from your wife. Get away from your husband. Get into that bubble for a 24-hour period of time. Sleep well. Eat well. And spend time reading the scripture and writing what you hear God say. Spend time listening for his voice. Don't be doing.
Yeah, we camouflage that with seminars and projects. And
yeah, read Isaiah chapter 1 in the Message, where God says he hates this idea that he says, meetings. You've worn me out. I hate them. I can't stand one
that?
More. Isaiah 1 is rendered by the Message. And it's phenomenal, because God's like, who ever told you in this place of worship, I wanted all this commotion? This is a place of worship, not activity. And you know, it's a very clear message that's throughout the scripture. God's not interested in your activity. David says it in Psalms 3 or 4 or 5 times. I don't remember, but he says, you know, it's not sacrifice. You know, it's not religion. It's not piety. It's not my activity that you ask for.
Contrition.
Yeah, it's my brokenness. It's me hearing your voice. That's what you're after. And God doesn't need any of your activity. He doesn't need any of your sacrifices. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of that. The truth is, what the real issue is, we need him. So we need to be going to him to find out what it is we need, what we need to do. I mean, think about relationships. You know, today's, you know, we're moving into the holiday season, and this is always a difficult time of year.
Mm.
For a lot of reasons, and you know, when you're in difficult relational situations, you have family issues that are upside down and don't have any seeming hope of changing, and may not. How do you navigate that without being full of anxiety and because anxiety and fear to me are very much the same? How do you navigate those without being full of anxiety and fear? And you know, today's a day when we're trying to make people afraid.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, but fear is not of God. Now, there is not the kind of fear that's debilitating. Now, I have a healthy, respectful fear of God, because
that's a reverential fear.
Yes, because he has the power to destroy my soul. Mm. He's the God of the universe, but, and I would be foolish not to respect him.
Psalm 23, he'll lead you by the still waters. He'll make you lie down in the green pasture,
right,
and then restore.
Yes.
Your soul. He knows that it's been pretty much beat up.
Right.
Pretty much beat up.
Right.
Beat up.
Right.
He's in the business of restoring.
That's right. And that's the thing that I keep trying to reiterate to folks, is that, yes, God is a God to be respected and awed and feared, no doubt about it. And he is the only safe place. He's the only place where there's enough power to change anything inside of your life.
All right, let's bring this in for a landing. Patrick Doyle with us, and local counselor, and the number to his office is 301-5500. And today's program has been recorded. If you'd like to get a copy of it, let us know. We know there's a lot of people. We know there's a lot of people out there really, really, really battling.
Yeah.
With fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comes in multiple levels and in many ways. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing they can do to start getting help in this area?
Okay, first thing I would say is, if you struggle with fear, and you know, those fearful thoughts come to you when you're trying to sleep, you're driving, they just intrude on you. You didn't ask for them, they're just there. One of the first things I would suggest is that you sit down when that stuff happens, when it comes to the surface, when it's bugging you, you write it down. Don't keep it in your head. Isolation is a fertile soil for fear. And you need to go talk to somebody that you trust and that you respect and who has proven themselves. And I underscore the idea that they've proven themselves to be trustworthy. And you begin to share these fearful things. The second thing I would say is that you must be in God's Word on a daily basis. You must be reading God's Word, not to find a lesson, not to find something to share, not to find a moral thing to do. You look for God when you read the Scripture. You look for Him, His beauty, His glory, His mercy, His goodness, His love, Him. And the Scripture says, if you see Him, you will be changed. It's not optional. But you cannot see Him if you don't look at what He's given us as His revelation. He has made Himself clear through the written Word. I don't know why He chose to do that, but He did. So you must read it and find a version that you understand. Don't read it in the King James English. I don't understand how to talk in 1611 English. Read it in something that makes sense to you so that you can understand what He's saying. And then when you hear Him speak to you, again, write that down, because in 2 weeks when the cotton is deep, you're going to need to remember what He said.
Powerful. Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
Hang in there, pal.
I will.
301-5500. Call him, not me.
Balance Point, a part of weekdays beginning at 8 o'clock on the Dove.